Big, sad, fun. My name is James Johnson, and I am here with my co-host.
Edward Dickey.
Edward. Hello.
How you doing, man?
How you doing, bud?
All right. It's been a little bit.
Yeah,
we got a little busy last week.
That's, you know, it's Christmas time.
Exactly. And you work in a church, so.
And that typically means a lot of Christmas time work.
That means things get busy.
That's right. But we are back, and we are going to jump right into our big for today, which is, of course.
NFL recap. NFL recap. Solely dependent on our teams.
Slash, how about them Cowboys?
Man, you know, so have they finally gotten Houston and Dallas to be a rivalry?
They're trying. They've been there. You know,
Houston's, like, I know that's the natural border there makes you want that to be a rivalry.
Seems like they want it to be, but in Houston's very first game was against Dallas.
That's a tough way to start.
And I think we lost that game.
That's a tough fan base to go against.
Yes.
In your own city.
Yeah, you know, I have no feelings toward the Houston Texans. So that answers your question for you right there.
Gotcha.
Not a rivalry.
Do you after this game?
No. This game was a classic situation of we are not as good as we think we are, and Dak is not good. And all the other stuff that I say week after week after week that no one listens to because we beat Vikings 40-3 and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is a Super Bowl team. And I'm going to go back and say, just look at what happened. That being said, I mean, we should have blown that team out. That is the worst team in the NFL.
I will say, you know, you got the Georgia boy and Davis Mills slinging the rock for Houston. And I think
just another reason why we should have blown them out.
When you're from Georgia, it just means you're just a little gritty, you know? And he's a gritty guy.
Yeah.
He's lost his starting job a couple times, but he's very gritty. But Houston stinks.
They're terrible.
I know you obviously speak fairly hyperbolically and a little, as some would say, crazy sometimes, but Dallas isn't a bad team.
No, I like to keep my expectations in a place where disappointment will cripple me.
In the basement.
Exactly, right? I'd rather be surprised than disappointed. And the thing is, Dallas is good.
Yeah.
The defense is good, and the offense, when it clicks, is good. When we lean on the run, it's good. And Dak can show flashes of competency. That being said,
I agree with all that.
That being said, I think this is a classic situation where we weren't really, probably didn't emotionally prepare for the team because it was Houston. And Houston did emotionally prepare to play against the Dallas Cowboys, the actual beloved other team in the state. You know, for Houston.
So it's a little, you think it's a little bit of a little brother syndrome?
I think so. It's like Oklahoma State versus Oklahoma or, you know, like Alabama versus Georgia. It's like a little brother situation going on.
I mean, we have the most recent ring. It's all set. We're in the playoff.
I was calling you the big brother there, bud.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you were. No, but like, do you think this also is a little bit of a wake up call? Like, you know, I think you're lucky because I think every good team has a week like that.
Yeah.
And you just have to hope that week doesn't.
Right.
You know, you don't lose that week because a loss can hurt you.
That's the thing, but we've lost three games already. And I thought Green Bay was a wake up call. So if we're not, how many times are we going to keep falling asleep? You know, like
every night.
every night. That being said, we did win. And I will say the way that we won, I thought was amazing in the sense that we had a four down stand for our defense, basically goal line stand on the defense for the defense. Which was amazing. They stood up. They didn't let them in. And then Dak took the ball 98 yards. The offense took it 98 yards for a touchdown.
I did think
that was really cool.
Him, you know, pounding his chest and taunting the Houston sideline a little bit like, buddy, they're 1-11, man. Like, I don't know what you think you're doing.
You're not even supposed to be on the field right now. It should be Cooper Rush.
Exactly. You know, like, and I get it. It's a passionate game.
He gets fired up.
Which happens, you know.
It happens.
But I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, I mean, who do y'all have this week?
So we're playing Jags this week, so who knows?
You know, that's a weirdly good team.
They're not as bad as their record would say they are.
I mean, you know, you got to think.
And we clearly are vulnerable.
This is basically Trevor Lawrence's rookie season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like one guy in that locker room said, like, you know, he had Urban Meyer for his rookie season. So that's tough to get past.
And he's coming on. He's getting better.
There
were some concerns about him.
I watched that game because the Falcons were on a bye and they were, you know, one of the two games I was on. But I mean, he was making some dynamite throws, and you know, he looked solid. I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback. Now, can they get pieces around him? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I think he's looking pretty solid, and I think Jacksonville doesn't suck.
They have a good coach now. Doug Peterson is pretty good, and you know, he won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. No one even remembers for Philadelphia. Well,
there was, you know, what have you done for me lately? And he hadn't done much for that team lately.
Well, I think that Carson Wentz situation didn't help. If they had just kept Nick Foles and let Carson go, well, they might have won another Super Bowl.
You know, if we can rewind the clock on that.
Yeah. That was such a weird situation.
Before Carson got hurt, though, he was having an MVP season.
He was. He was.
It's hard to.
What happened to him?
You know, it's weird.
You know, Dallas really wanted him coming out.
And he's shown glimpses of greatness, like a lot of these guys. And I heard something in the draft where glimpses of greatness will get a coach fired.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever you just, you see it and you're like, if we could just get that all the time.
Man, we could do it all
the time.
We're
going to keep working with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, then he doesn't actually do it.
Maybe consistency is more important.
Yes, but I don't know. It's, that's one of those, I don't know.
So, speaking of Philadelphia, though, I found out, I don't know if this game got flexed or if this has always been on the schedule this way. I don't remember it being like this. I think it got moved, but even if not, I discovered just this past week. I do work for a church, and we have, I think, 6 or 7 services on Christmas Eve, in which I will be working most of them from 9 until about 7 o'clock at night, which I love to do. It's Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
But
do they still do the, like, 11 p.m. service?
No. We got rid of that. 8 o'clock is the last service you can go to. But I found out that Dallas Cowboys play maybe the most important game of the season, the Philadelphia Eagles, on Christmas Eve at 4:30. Merry Christmas.
You can watch it on your phone.
I'm going to have it on my computer up here.
That's smart.
And just come back and look at it. I don't know that I even want to watch it, to be honest. I mean, I do. But
that's going to be a good
game.
We're going to
know. We're going to figure out who we are. We will know who we are coming out of that game.
And I mean, I think the Eagles are... The Eagles are really
They are solid. They
By the
are
way,
really good.
Did I send you or have we talked about the fact the Eagles offensive line made a Christmas album?
Oh, no.
And it's like really good.
like what kind of Christmas? Like they sing songs?
Yeah.
I got to check this out.
After this, I'll show you the video of it. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Jason Kelsey is like, he's a big guy. He's like, I love Christmas.
I'm hoping they're spending a lot of time doing that.
They did it over the summer, which they said it's weird getting into the Christmas spirit when it's 95 degrees and June. So I think that's going to be a wild game.
It is. It's in Dallas. It's going to tell us everything we need to know about who we are and where we need to go. This whole Odell thing, which is kind of, is still on the table apparently. It's kind of fizzled away. He's not going to help us this season, regardless.
I don't know why. Yeah, I think at this point, just let him rehab.
But we got the T.Y. Hilton in the house now,
which
is not a bad pickup.
I forgot that he's a great player.
He was a great player.
But like
he's 33 years old. Now.
He can still do some things though, and he's a great locker room.
Yeah,
presence. For some of your young receivers.
I think that's exactly right, and he's going to be somebody who's going to just give us a little bit more depth at that position. I think we're okay. Yeah. I think we're okay.
I don't think the receivers
aren't the issue with our passing game.
Yeah. Well, and you know you'll see good moments with Dak.
Yeah.
But. You know, it's not always.
Like, Dak was, like, just to go back to that Houston game, that Houston game was a clinic on how to kind of understand Dak Prescott. He, in the first half, maybe the first three quarters, was terrible. I mean, he threw picks. He was overthrowing people. Like, it was awful. It was like, who is this guy? This is not the guy that played last week. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth quarter comes around, and things click, and that final drive, everything is hitting exactly where he wants it to go. And I don't know what it is. Like, it's like he has to be in these high-moment, high-pressure situations for his brain to be like,
That's
okay, let's actually do this. Because if you could do it once, I'm a big believer in the idea that if you can do it once, you can do it always. And so...
You can.
Yeah. Like, it's possible. Especially for like basic skill stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you can throw a ball accurately once, then you can do it again.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a fluke, right? Yeah. And I know I can see that in his game that he can actually play. But why doesn't he do it all the time? It's like his head's not in the game or something.
We need to have a sports psychologist on to explain some of this stuff to us, because so much of it is just the mental aspect of it.
I'm fascinated by that too.
Yeah.
But speaking of quarterbacks, I hear we got a new situation here in Atlanta. You want to fill us in?
It's Ritter time, baby.
The Riddler has been released. Can we get that going? The Riddler.
I think it's a thing.
Well, I made it a thing. It is.
Well,
a
and
thing.
Okay. There are easier situations to walk into than at New Orleans on the road or New Orleans.
Or just playing for the Falcons in general.
But at like late in the season, let's start your career in New Orleans as a Falcon. What in God's name are you doing? Oh, okay.
Trying to get it going right here. Okay.
Sorry, I'd stick with them just see you just spinning something. And, you know, they're because the Saints, even though they're having a crummy season, they're going to be in the building. And it's, yep. And they're going to be going crazy
this
for
this is a big rivalry game.
Oh, it's,
I mean, it's huge.
It's very overlooked by other fan bases because,
but not for, I mean, for the Falcons, this is your biggest rival.
Oh, easily. Yeah. But, you know, because we're both usually bad,
yeah.
No one cares.
No one cares, yeah.
But, we've always been the, you know, because the South is a big football territory, yeah. And it's like these are the two real pro teams in this area. Yeah. I mean, Carolina, yeah, but they kind of don't even go here.
Yeah, yeah, and they're still relatively new. I mean, 30 years, but...
Yeah, but, you know, and forever it was always, no, we're not the worst, you're the worst.
back when you were playing for in the same division as the 49ers?
Yeah.
Oof, which doesn't tough. Make any sense.
No, but, and so I think it's going to be a tough... And he also doesn't have Drake London.
Is Drake hurt?
Who is one of, it's either Kyle Pitts or Drake London.
I know Kyle Pitts is out.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't have Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, he's missing a weapon. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Have you seen any film on him at all? Have you seen him?
I mean, I've watched his college highlight tape 17 times.
Did he play for Liberty? Is he the one who came for Liberty?
No, that's Malik Willis. He played for Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So he's played in big games. He's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Ready.
He knows the game.
Yeah.
He'll be
and,
ready.
And he's been like, you know, since he's a little older, he's been very much like, this is a job.
Right.
Like, you know, and he was talking at like rookie minicamp about like how he was watching film all night and, you know, doing. So I think he's ready. He's ready to
good.
Click in.
I've heard that he's saying all the right things, which is a good
start. I saw an interview with him. And how much he sounds like Matt Ryan makes me so happy.
Okay. All right.
You know, good. Like, yeah. I don't want a quarterback who's going to make headlines.
Right.
Give me the most boring guy.
You don't want, like, Aaron Rodgers out there being like, I'm immunized.
Yeah. I don't want it. Just give me somebody who's going to come in and do the job.
Right.
Now, the other thing, though, that's kind of interesting is right now, I think, when you look at the future of the NFC South.
I thought the future would be brighter.
Well... Funny you say that. Right now, I think it's a race of who's going to get good first between us and the Saints.
Yeah. Tampa Bay is falling off.
I think, you know, Brady's going to leave soon.
Yeah. Going back to the Patriots, from what I understand.
Just retire, son. and, you know, I mean, I will say the Charlotte's, you know, they're looking better, but they got to figure out who their coach is.
Charlotte. You're right. That's it's kind of a dumpster fire right now.
Well, and, you know, I mean, they've won a couple games. You know, that game in the rain that we lost there is going to sting a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, but really, I personally think that it is a two-team race, but who's going to get good first between us and the Saints? We both have issues at quarterback.
Yep.
But, you know, there's a good young squad there, and it's just going to kind of be who's going to hit first at quarterback.
Yeah.
Is Desmond Ridder the guy, or are we still in the quarterback market?
Right.
All of this... remains to be seen.
Well, you're going to be able to find out a little bit about that. And I'm curious as to how you think. Do you think the Falcons still have a chance to make the playoffs this year?
Mathematically, yeah.
Okay.
If you do the math. I mean, so I don't think that we're out of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I still think it's a bad division. And when the Falcons look good, we look really good.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just very often.
You have a certain game plan that works for you. And
it's a game plan that I like. You know, we're running the ball efficiently.
Yeah.
Now, the problem has just been, you know, when we throw the ball, it's not a, you know, a accurate throw.
Well, and that's because your quarterback has been a guy named Marcus Mariota, who, by the way, where's he gone? Where's he at? There's
that's
some
a
drama
weird
situation going on. Like, he was told he's not going to play anymore, and so he left.
And now
he's
hurt. Like, so my understanding of it, at least, and this is all... from what they've said, not really my opinion on it's a little different, but he's had a nagging knee issue.
Right.
And then once he found out he wasn't going to be the starter, he said, all right, cool. I'm just going to go get the surgery.
Yeah. Which I guess makes sense.
It makes sense. But I also think like,
kind of leave your team in a lurch, maybe. I don't know. Where's the loyalty?
And you are a backup quarterback, Marcus.
That is what he has been, right?
And it's what the talent that he has dictates.
Yep.
You know, he can come in and win you a game if you need to. But for the most part, he's a backup quarterback.
Right, right. I guess maybe he thought he was a starter again.
And, you know, he was on a bad team. Because a lot of the Falcons' issue has just been we don't have the personnel on defense. We don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And so, you know, going forward, it's going to be getting the personnel on defense and finding a quarterback. But
Yep.
It's a little weird that he kind of just dipped.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, also he's made a good amount of money.
That's what I heard today. He's already banked like $50 or $60 million.
Yeah, he's just gonna go live on the beach in Hawaii.
Yeah, which is what I would do. I mean, yeah, especially if you're a
backup. But also, you know, because he's been this great guy the whole time, like help Ridder out, and I'm sure he has been all season.
Yeah.
But you know, if y'all were as cool as y'all were saying you were, you'd want to stay in the quarterback room with him.
Yeah.
But well, I don't know.
And there's a level, you know, another level of this is if he does have something that's hurt knee-wise, and he's now been relegated to backup.
That makes no sense for him to stay.
Well, the thing is he's only going to be the team then for a few more games, a few more months. Get the surgery done so you can do the rehab and get all that stuff paid for by the team.
That's very true.
Right? I mean,
that is very accurate.
That is a good financial decision to make. And no matter who thinks what about, oh, he's banning the team or whatever, this is weird.
That's a very good point.
Why wouldn't you do that? I think all of us would do that.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, I would maybe do it after the season, and because he's technically on contract for next year, and then get cut. But I don't really know how his contract
works. I'm sure it's not guaranteed.
I mean, he's done playing for the Falcons.
Yeah, I think he might be done playing altogether. But
he'll get a shot somewhere.
What are the chances that the very first play you guys run on Sunday is play action pass deep bomb to Drake London?
I'd be so happy.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
You know what's funny, though, is you know what the last throw that Marcus Mariota is going to have thrown as a Falcon is?
I don't know what. That pick?
Yes. Pretty wild.
Well, that's the way it goes.
That was tough to watch. but, yeah, no, I'm really excited to see. And, you know, all the players are kind of saying the right thing. You know, they're excited about him.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying there's a new kind of energy.
I heard about that, yeah.
Which I'm like, all right, I'm happy.
That's good.
Let's get it going.
It's always, you know, somebody says this. I don't know who says this. I can't remember who. I'm quoting somebody, but he says, you know, the most popular person on a bad team is the backup quarterback.
Honestly, there aren't many jobs in America better than backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback is the best job. That's what what's his name? Leinart used to say. He's like, I just stand around, hold a clipboard, get paid a good amount of money.
A large amount of money, yeah.
And I'm still an NFL player.
Yeah, and you don't get hit. You don't get hit in practice.
It's like the best job ever.
And, you know, you're not really going to get in a game.
Yeah, hopefully not.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited. Well, hopefully you're excited for
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Cowboys. I'm excited for the Falcons. And I think the season's coming down to this final month of December is coming down to some excitement.
Always does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
December football is always great.
So transitioning, though, from excitement to our sad of the day, the news broke over the weekend. I think it was Sunday that Mike Leach, at the age of 61, passed away.
Was it Sunday?
It was
Sunday
it was
or Monday.
Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
And so...
I talked over that. Mike Leach passed away.
Yes. Mike Leach passed away. And maybe a heart attack, I think, was...
Yeah, he had a heart attack, and then he was battling in the hospital for a little while. And then
succumbed. So maybe he had the heart attack on Sunday and then passed on Monday or something. But in any case...
in the past, since we last recorded...
This guy is... I remember him as I... You know, when I was younger in college... And watching a lot of Big 12 football, this was when Oklahoma was coming back on the stage with Bob Stoops, and in the year 2000 and beyond, right there in that area, Mike Leach was the head coach at Texas Tech.
Yes, the early 2000s. Yeah, you're right.
Early 2000s, and he was the guy who kind of innovated, or at least brought to my attention, this kind of spread offense, air raid kind of situation where it's just throw the ball all the time.
So it's an offense that has influenced every level of football.
Yeah.
Like you'll see air raid concepts in the NFL a lot. It's basically he looks at the field in 30-yard chunks and he uses it as a basketball court.
Yeah.
How can I get a guy open?
Yeah.
Which is wild.
It is wild. But I would say that like the way that he coached the game, and obviously this man is about more than just football, but like the my experience of him is that his approach to offense might be one of the most, if not the most influential offensive designs, like you said, at every level of football over the past 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be up there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky when he kind of developed it. And his idea was basically like, why don't we just run 2-minute offense the whole game?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he went with. But I think, you know, the thing that I'm always going to think is funny is all of his post-game interviews where, and it was a thing with his players too, where if you ask him a question, he would just start talking about the topic until he ran out of things to say about it. But like, you know, he wrote a couple books on Native Americans. He was just a really weird,
he was
fascinating
a lawyer.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah.
And he said his wife thought that she was marrying a lawyer. Come to find out, he's a football coach. But
never played the game, I think. I heard
he played in high school.
Played in high school.
Then got hurt and played rugby in college.
And then played rugby. That's right. Played rugby at college and then went to law school. And then
just kind of said, I think I'm going to give coaching a try.
Yeah.
And then, what he was able to. So you brought up Texas Tech. What's always interesting to me about the Texas Tech thing was like, if you are a good player in that area, you're going to Texas, you're going to A&M, you're going to Oklahoma,
right?
You're going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So he basically
like Tech never
took
got anybody.
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
And turned them into the number 7 team in the country at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at one point the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, Michael Crabtree and Graham Harrell.
I remember that game when they beat Texas.
Yes.
And I watched that Crabtree catch and run into the end zone, and that put Oklahoma at number 1. That's the only reason why I cared. Also, I hated Texas. But Texas Tech was always a thorn in our sides, Oklahoma. Every single year, Oklahoma would lose to either Texas Tech or K-State. Mm-hmm. We always beat Texas, so that was awesome. But like in the Bob Stoop era, anyway.
You know, what I thought was funny, and the other thing that's been great is seeing all the stories about him.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy who seemingly can, like every story that I've seen, the common thing is every interaction with him you had, you felt like you were an old-time friend.
Yeah.
Like an old friend with him. But there was one player who came into his office and he said, son, you're not going to play for me, but I want you to coach.
Oh, cool.
And he was like, that's stupid. Then he left and came back the next day and accepted it. And that was Lincoln Riley.
How about that? What was Lincoln Riley? A quarterback?
Probably.
Yeah. I
remember. But, you know, he's like, you're never going to see the field in my offense.
That's awesome. And Lincoln Riley is the one who got, did he bring Patrick Mahomes to Texas Tech? Am I thinking this right?
Lincoln Riley? He was at Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley was at Texas Tech, wasn't he? For a while.
If only we had the entirety of the world.
The internet at our hands. Right?
We're both looking at the same time as if one of us is going to get it faster. Oh, that's... He wrote an article about Leach.
I saw that. Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, he was at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I think
he was there when...
He was there with... I know he was there with Leach. I'm on his Twitter. That's
yeah, no, he was. Patrick Mahomes and Lincoln Riley were at Texas Tech.
That's okay. Yes. Yeah.
Lincoln Riley was a coach.
But now that I see the two together, I see the picture of them together. Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, and I think he has a wildly extensive coaching tree.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought what McAfee said was good. Which obviously we're both McAfee fans, but he was talking about it. And he's like, it's very sad, but you know, at the end of the day, you've done good.
You had a good run. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is accurate.
It's absolutely true.
Also the video of him, screaming at his players after, not winning a game by enough is legendary.
I remember it. Yeah. I've seen that.
Where he's, and, you know, one of his favorite sayings of, calling or talking about his players and saying, referring to their fat little girlfriends. Like, you know, they're just there listening to their fat little girlfriends and not the coaching. Yeah, stuff like that's always,
he was a character, man.
You know, he also said, Bigfoot says, if you don't believe in yourself, who will? You know, just little quips like that.
I heard that. That's great.
Little quips like that are awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
But you know, he leaves a legacy that's going to last a long time.
Absolutely.
And I was because he was kind of starting to get the ball rolling at Mississippi State.
He was, man, and it's a hard place to get the ball rolling.
Yes, it is. It is hard to get commit or get recruits in the South to come to Mississippi State.
It is. It absolutely is. That's where Dak played.
And, yeah, and that's the last time they were...
That was the last time they were relevant.
Yeah. I also heard a story, someone who was talking about how he was in Mike Leach's office and they looked out over the practice field and the intramural teams, or like, you know, the intramural,
yeah,
they were all playing. And he said, like, you know, the old coaches wouldn't have had that. And Leach was like, oh, why not? It's new grass. We got to break it in. I got to call the intramural office and get some more people out here playing.
That's awesome.
You know, just stuff like that.
Well, and that's kind of how I want to say, like, didn't Baker Mayfield walk on at Texas Tech because he was an intramural player?
The Baker Mayfield story always confuses me.
Yeah.
He walked on somewhere and then he transferred and then he...
Yeah, he walked on at Texas... I think it's Texas Tech he walked on and then transferred to Oklahoma.
Yes.
And now he's walking on the NFL football teams apparently. And
he played well.
Shows up and is like, hey, I got 15 minutes. Let me get ready. I'm ready. I'm going to go.
Well, but, and you know, the other guy who we put in the NFL, Garner Minshew.
Garner Minshew, man.
He was from Washington State.
I really wish Garner Minshew was my backup quarterback. Or my starting quarterback, for that matter.
And, you know, he's a number two somewhere right now.
I think he's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I want to say that's right. Going to be a tough. But, and he said his last text was Leach telling him, like, you know, just stay ready. The minute you get in a game, you're going to get picked up by somebody.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Wait, I mean, he was good.
It's a great when he was in that quarterback competition with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
which I mean, they're not going to give you the job.
Yeah, you got to give it to the long haired Jesus guy.
And you know, they just drafted him first overall.
Right,
but that was, and it was wild though. Like how long this, you know, goofy little upstart with the funny mustache was able to hold off Trevor Lawrence.
He's a character,
man. You know?
He's a character. Yeah. I enjoy that.
But I think Trevor Lawrence, or I think Garner Minshew and Mike Leach are very similar.
Yes, I think that's right.
They were a match made in heaven.
Well, we'll...
keep him in your thoughts and prayers.
Keep your thoughts and prayers in. And, his family. Rest in peace, Mike Leach. Yeah. You will be missed.
You're done good.
All right. So for our fun today, as we transition away from the sad to the fun.
And it's hard to kind of keep talking sports.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's Christmas time.
Yeah. So
what's a fun activity to do in the midst of, maybe even you call it a sporting activity to do in the midst of the Christmas season? Back in March, we did the sports movie bracket.
To resounding success.
To resounding, yeah. We were the first ones to ever do that.
You know what's funny to me is that we had an ESPN commentator on, and we got him to talk about sports movies. Which, looking back on, why did we do that?
I saw he was a co-host in one of our local radio stations here a couple of months back. So he was filling in for somebody.
Yeah.
I think on 93.7. And I was like, I know that guy. That guy was on my podcast.
We got him to talk about... We could have had a great conversation with this genius about sports, and we had him talking about sports movies.
All right, well, we're going to do Christmas movies for our fun today, and we're going to just do part of it today, and then we're going to throw up some of them up on Twitter and get you guys to do some of the work with us. What we'll do here is just kind of, we'll put a picture of the bracket up on Twitter.
You will?
Someone will. Whoever runs our Twitter.
And I run the Twitter. I do not have a way to scan this.
I'll send it to you.
Cool.
But our four number one seeds. So for our Christmas movies here, our four number one seeds, which get a bye in the first round here, are Christmas Story, which plays 24/7 on TNT and TBS on Christmas Day. Die Hard, which is the best Christmas movie of all time. So, okay.
I was leaning away from the mic. Is this question... best movie about Christmas or best Christmas movie?
Ooh.
I agree Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
You don't think it's the best movie about Christmas?
I think it's definitely a very good movie set around Christmas. It is, however, not a great Christmassy movie.
Why not? It is about a man trying to save his family from the darkness and the evil. What is better than
that?
Christmassy than that?
I mean, I don't see one Santa Claus. We'll get into it later.
We'll get into it. All right, and then the next one is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, a classic, and of course, the best Christmas movie of all time. You'll hear me say that a lot. It's a Wonderful Life, which plays at 8 o'clock on NBC on Christmas Eve every year, and I watched it 25 years in a row. So,
that's weird.
It's me and my grandmother used to do it together, so yeah, it's got a lot of nostalgia.
So
I want to make a substitution to our situation here, right under A Christmas Story, Black Christmas. I want to take that out and put it in The Fat Man.
100% agree with that.
Because we've seen that one.
And it's awesome.
It is. I just watched it the other night. It's amazing.
We'll talk later. This doesn't need to be a podcast about Fat Man.
We're starting to launch a new podcast, everybody.
It's solely based on one movie.
Today we'll be talking about scene 127. Probably just niche enough that we'd get enough of a ton of visited listeners. All right, so how do you want to do this?
Let's just get into it.
All right. So The Fat Man versus Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. I think based on what we just said,
I think Fat Man's got to
Fat Man's
going to
win
there.
That. We're not going to even have a good discussion there because Fat Man is so, it's like, what I loved about Fat Man, we'll make a couple comments per movie here. What I loved about Fat Man was that this is what the world would actually be like if Santa Claus were real.
Yes.
Right? So it's not, there is some magical stuff in it in the sense that there's elves. In the sense that he's got like superhuman strength and he appears to be immortal.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, by the way. But
I also love how that movie, it knows what it is, but yet it doesn't treat it like a joke.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. New York's on a grid. You should be able to figure
how
it out.
How do you get lost?
You should be able to figure it out.
All right. Love Actually versus The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm going Nightmare Before Christmas.
You are.
I think Love Actually's overrated.
Oh my love! Love actually is all around, Edward.
It's also stupid. The movie is stupid.
Yeah, you know, I saw that movie in the theater when it first came out in 2003. I've watched it every year probably since then, and I love it. It actually kicks off my Christmas season. Love Actually, I watch it the day after Thanksgiving every year. But you know what? I'm going to give it to you, Nightmare Before Christmas, just simply because that's a classic. Tim Burton. Yeah. Let's go. All right. Elf versus Jingle All the Way.
I mean, it's Jingle All the Way is good,
but Elf is.
It's got to be Elf. Yeah.
that's a good matchup though.
Yeah.
If we had more time, or you know, a podcast dedicated to simply Christmas movies.
Yeah.
We could talk about that one for a while.
It'd be really popular one month out of the year.
All right, so then we move on to Miracle on 34th Street versus Batman Returns.
As much as I want to go Batman Returns.
All right, so the problem with Batman Returns is Danny DeVito's characterization of the Penguin is like really disturbing to me. And I don't know if you remember that or not.
I do. You will never hear me say something bad about Danny DeVito.
No. He knocks it out of the park, but that's what makes it so creepy. Like he does such a good job that I'm creeped out. So I'm gonna
go Nightmare.
Nix that.
And go Miracle on 34th Street.
Miracle.
Solely because of the nipples on the Batman suit.
Okay, good.
Those are stupid.
All right, Bad Santa versus Trading Places. I will say Bad Santa is more of a Christmas movie than Trading Places, but Trading Places is the better movie. So,
let's go Trading Places.
Oh, okay.
I've always thought Bad Santa was kind of...
It's not good. You don't like it.
It's not great.
Yeah, that's what it's. Trading Places is a better movie. So. Yeah. All right, Charlie Brown Christmas, which is like 10 minutes long, versus Meet Me in St. Louis.
Charlie Brown Christmas. If I don't get Christmas time is here on or around Christmas, I'm smacking some of the taste out of someone's mouth. Okay, it's a great movie.
It is a great movie. All right, how about The Muppet Christmas?
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Okay,
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Silent Night, Deadly Night. Hey, by the way, this new movie that's out with David Harbour, Violent Night.
Yeah, is it good?
I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it. Maybe we need a range of viewing. All right, so
Muppet arrange if you and AK go see it.
Go see it. Yes, yes. They've arranged it for us. We just have to pay. The Santa Claus versus Tim Allen and The Holiday, which is another romantic, wonderful movie.
I've never seen The Holiday.
That doesn't surprise me. You know what? We'll go with Santa Claus. Although I will say that.
Hold on. The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus.
Because my cousin pointed out to me once when I asked him if he liked it, he said, "I'll never watch a movie based on a bad pun." Which it is.
It is, but that's what makes it great.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're over 17, you should look up a video of Dan Harmon ranting about the Santa Claus series. It's amazing.
Oh, I love Dan Harmon. All right, so White Christmas, classic 1954 film versus the 88 wonderful rendition of Christmas Carol with Bill Murray, Scrooged. Now, if we're going strictly on nostalgia and strictly on a movie that you're going to watch every year. White Christmas is going to win this. Scrooge is hilarious and great, but we already have one Christmas Carol represented in this.
Yeah, I think we got to go White Christmas.
All right, and then we have Gremlins versus Family Stone. I'm going Gremlins on this, even though until recently I forgot that it was even set during Christmas.
Until you just said it. Gizmo, I didn't do a great looking over this.
Gizmo was a Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah.
Masquire.
Okay, yeah. I forgot all about that.
Plus, Family Stone's a terrible movie. And then we got How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the classic version, cartoon version, versus Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon.
You're going to go Lethal Weapon?
Solely because they didn't make it the Jim Carrey version of the Grinch. The Jim Carrey version of the Grinch is the definite
You are such a millennial.
Yeah, it's all right. Awesome.
We're going Lethal Weapon. I'm going to love it when we have Fat Man versus Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon versus... Oh, okay. Anyway. All right. And finally.
So
Home Alone versus Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I hate that this is a first round matchup because.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Home Alone is iconic, classic film.
Yeah.
And I think probably has to win this.
Yeah.
But Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a fantastic film that reignited Robert Downey Jr.'s career, gave him the Iron Man job.
Mm-hmm. When did Iron Man come out?
2009.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. This is the role that got him that role.
But Val Kilmer
is amazing in this movie.
It's a very good movie. Yeah, that's a tough seating for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And Downey's is amazing in it, but I think you got to go Home Alone.
All right. Yeah, I think you're probably right there.
That's tough though.
Home Alone. All right, I think what we're going to do here then is we'll stop here for today.
Okay.
One reason being we're running out of time.
Yeah.
But also because we can put these up on Twitter, and then next week we'll come back, and whatever Twitter says, we'll fill this in, and then we'll do the final four ourselves.
Perfect. I like that.
And then we can put the championship up.
On Christmas Eve. All right. Perfect. I like that.
All right. Well, this is fun, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what the people say about our Christmas movie bracket challenge.
Follow us on Twitter.
On Twitter at Big Sad Fun.
I like to tweet my way through sports.
Yes, yes.
Ed likes sports.
Ed likes sports.
But yeah, thank y'all for listening.
Absolutely,
hopefully you enjoyed us coming out of your speakers. We'll be doing it again soon.
All right, you guys have a great one.